This is the Art Beauty Podcast, where we tell the real truth about the fake shit. We are unsponsored and really just trying to get to the bottom of all of this beauty stuff. Today, my fabulous co-host is Sonia Killick. She is a metaphysician. She's an author. She's a self-development coach. She's coming to us from literally across the globe. So excited to have you here, Sonia. How's it going?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Amber. I'm super excited to be chatting to you and to all of your listeners today.
We're real lucky to have you. Now, can I ask you, I saw this metaphysician. That's a term, I have to be honest, I've never heard. So what is a metaphysician?
So meta means beyond. And so it's pretty much beyond physics. So it's a culmination of psychology, spirituality, and logic. I always throw logic in there. And right. it's a combination. So for me, it's a bit more broader. It kind of incorporates the bigger being than psychology. And of course, it's a bit more specific than spirituality. So yeah.
Okay, so you're really sort of helping people find their ways. I know that you've got two books that you've written. And before we get into sort of that, can you tell us a little bit about like what's going on in your life? What's going on over, you're in Australia?
South Africa.
So. South Africa, sorry. Okay, I knew it was like...
South, just a little bit west, yeah.
Okay, got it.
Not America.
What's going on there? Like, what's the sitch?
So we had... Our lockdown was pretty brutal compared to the rest of the world, and we went on lockdown really early before all of our COVID cases hit. So we were on lockdown since March.
Okay.
And we had very heavy restrictions. We weren't allowed to go out. We weren't, you know, half of the businesses closed, all the gyms were closed. So pretty similar to the rest of the world, but a lot longer. And in fact, so we had it on different levels. There were five being the most stringent and then moving down. And literally on Monday, I think it was Monday or within the last week, we moved to level two. So gyms are finally open, pretty much everything's functioning again, but you know, South Africa wasn't exactly a rich country to begin with, and we have quite a bit of poverty and health issues and access to resources that we had before COVID. So it made it pretty tough, and I think like the rest of the world, we all had our own issues, but yeah, it became quite scary to see how many businesses were closing and how many people were desperate. But yeah. Having said that, South Africans are notoriously really good at dealing with difficulties with a great sense of humor. So we have certainly kept our head up, and I think everybody is really excited to get back to normality.
I mean, I feel like, you know, yeah, here in New York, the restaurants opened up, but they're not outdoor only. So we have, they're going to start, I think, indoor at 25% on Monday. And so it's been slow here. The gyms are open, but what's weird here is that most of the gyms, at least that I would go to, were these like what we would call boutique fitness, right? You know, so it wouldn't be like a massive gym, but maybe one room with different benches, or you'd be in like a spin studio. And a lot of those haven't been able to open. So I think it's been kind of crushing, but I really have been impressed by how people have been able to pivot. Some of the creativity. We do outdoor dining, and you know, knock on wood, the weather has held up pretty well, but I don't know what's going to happen in the winter, and it's sad to see a lot of the businesses, like you said, closing. And but I do find that one thing that I am thankful for is that this, so I was using Zoom to record before COVID, but now it's become so wonderful because people like yourself, I think that everybody's so open to this, you know, and we're so used to this. Do you do a lot of remote coaching? And
so I was actually using Zoom for about 2 years. So okay. It was a really, yeah, so it was completely easy for me, but where it did help me were my clients were more open to it.
Totally.
So obviously in my profession, people kind of want that one-on-one. They want me to be there. And obviously now being forced to do Zoom, and they realize, oh, actually it works. And it's right. A huge time saver, right? Because it's half an hour traveling there and back on either side. And you can actually do more, be more focused, more proactive in the time that you have. So yeah, I've loved it. And there was no real change for me, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm wearing biker shorts right now. So it's also nice because it's...
Can I show you my beautiful top, right?
Yes,
wait for it. Tracksuit pants.
Biker for shorts. It almost looks like underwear because it's kind of hot in here today. So I do. I love the freedom and the flexibility. Thank you for being so open and honest to share it.
I actually almost put a pair of shorts on and I thought, you know what, if for any reason I need to stand up, let me put something on that looks vaguely professional, you know?
I've done that before and it's like you have to get up and it's like now you're seeing you do it sideways, my you do cellulite it like and all this stuff. Yes. Yes. Oh my goodness. You know, it's good to be able to laugh and you know, this new world that we're living in. I think everybody out there gets it now.
So this is, you've just hit the nail on the head. This is what I've loved the absolute most is how human everybody has become. Suddenly it's okay to take this veneer, you know, specifically in the corporate world, in any kind of professional business, right? We all have this veneer of perfectionism and there was always a distance, you know, between you and the person that you're speaking to, whether they were a client, a prospective client, anybody. And now that it's kind of dropped away and people are being so much more human and we're laughing at ourselves and we're sharing our vulnerable parts. And yes, we're doing it in pajamas. And I think it's wonderful.
What are we going to do when we have to go back? I mean, I do want things to open up again, but I was thinking today, man, I love not putting on makeup. I love, you know, that I can, yeah, there's a lot of things about this I love.
So I think we have to take the learning and I think we have to be really conscious about what worked for us and what we want to keep going forward.
Yeah.
Certainly.
I totally agree. And I think that's a nice segue into why I brought you on today. So we are a beauty podcast and we have, by the way, at home, Sonia and I have been in touch for like months now. Originally, I wanted to have you on to come in and talk about, you know, the fact that people were going back to work and how are we going to be our best selves and present our best selves. But I think that we both feel like, you know, we're kind of, let's get beyond that and more of this idea that, you know, we focus so much on beauty, on the exterior, and wellness, thank God, has finally come into the conversation because let's be honest, beauty is not just about what you're doing to your skin. Beauty is not just about like what the makeup you're putting on or how you're whitening your teeth or what doctor you're going to get filler and Botox from. So much of it has to do with our inner peace, with our stress. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, you have this incredible 4-point Renew system. Can you tell us about what led you to come to that?
All right. So I've been coaching for 13 years and over time, you know, as much as we like to think that we're unique and our individual stories are unique without a doubt, but the overall challenges that we all face, no matter what our gender is, our nationality, our culture, it all boils down to the same thing. And that is how integrated our body, mind, and soul is. So what I did was I came up with it, and I certainly didn't invent this by any means, but I have packaged it together as a means to heal and to reveal your true, powerful, incredible self, right? Because we all put these limitations and these barriers on ourselves, and they come from various different areas, and we can chat about that. But primarily, the 4-point Renew is your emotional, spiritual, physical, and mental self. And all of those four quadrants of your life require different types of connection, attention, and of course, all culminates in that well-being. So if we look at physical, you know, then it's 100% your health, your diet, your sexuality, which is not discussed that often.
Right.
Your mental is your communication, your quality of your thoughts, your belief systems, right? What you allow into your mind and what, of course, you put out. And then we have the emotional, which is the health of our emotions, how much we allow ourselves to feel and to access that full range that is available to us, you know? So we look at the traumas, the stress, the anxiety, the deep wounds that we haven't looked at, and of course, vulnerability and versus shame. So I think, you know, going back to what we were discussing earlier about how human we've all become now, you know, what I'm seeing is that we're becoming more comfortable with being vulnerable.
Yeah.
So before we would label all of these things as weakness, you know, you couldn't admit that you were afraid. You couldn't admit that you didn't know what the answer was. You couldn't admit that you were deeply stressed or feeling anxious. You know, all of these things were restricted to your best friend or your very close family members. And now as a species, as communities, we're beginning to share this. So it's a lot more healthier way of expressing and living.
I don't know about you. On that though, yeah? I find that I guess I always thought that you know, instead of vulnerability being weak, it's actually like one of the most strong things. You have to be a very strong person to be vulnerable. And I know, because I feel like so much of my life and career early was about kind of putting on this perfection, right? And you see all this stuff on Instagram where your life is just kind of this, you know, this
constant
this
comparison of the perfect picture.
And I got so sick of that. And I loved, I mean, my big turning point was I was going through IVF and years ago, I was just like having a breaking point and I posted something and all of the sudden this outpouring of support and of people being like, wow, I went through this, or I know somebody went through this, or thank you for sharing. It really opened my eyes to like, wow, perfection is not, I guess maybe we like to look at it, but that's not connecting with people. Like we need to be messy and messiness and that vulnerability, which was really like, it's much harder to do. But I think that it does resonate with people a lot more.
100%, because it gives, not only do you connect on an emotional level with whoever you are speaking to, but it gives the other person permission to be human as well.
Right.
Because if you approach somebody with that veneer in place and they feel that they have to also step up and rise and be perfect, you know?
Yeah. So do you think right now, it's interesting, right? Because again, we're talking to some across the globe. I think that we always know what's going on in our home, in our neighborhood, in our cities. Mm-hmm. But are you finding that the stress levels in general are like way peak high and that people are really having terrible anxiety? Like what are some of the things that you're seeing?
100%. And I've given this a lot of thought. So here's my theory. So human beings love to, well, we're lazy by nature, right? And we don't like pain. We don't like discomfort. And we've spent our lifetimes, and every industry is designed around avoiding pain. Right.
Yeah.
So if you look at transport, if you look at even the beauty industry, if you look at Netflix, if you look at absolutely everything in our lives, it's all designed to make our lives easier.
Mm-hmm.
So enter COVID, right? And now prior to that, we had a range of things that we could use to avoid our personal pain, our stress, our anxiety, our worries. Go for a drink at the bar, meet your friends, go for a run, put the television on, watch YouTube. You know, there were all of these things that helped us to avoid what we're really, really feeling. And then COVID comes along and now all of us are forced into our homes and we're forced to sit with all of those feelings that we have been avoiding for years and years and years. And I think a lot of people didn't have on practice at dealing with those emotions, on practice at accepting them, even acknowledging that they are the kind of person who would feel anxious or stressed. And so we have an entire globe of people suddenly forced to sit with these emotions. And without a doubt, I've seen the stress levels through the roof because we aren't practiced at it. It's not in our culture. It's not in our desire to sit with discomfort. We like to avoid it.
You know, you keep saying we aren't practiced at that. And I want to hit on that in a minute because it sounds like there is something that we can actually practice and do.
Mm.
But I do feel like one of the things that drives me crazy whenever I'm stressed, I find that people first thing is like, you need to relax. And it's like that just, that bubbles up in me and it's like, you know, I know my mom's listening to this right now and I love you, mom, but you know, she's one of the biggest. And look, I do it too with my girlfriends. It's like, no, you need to relax. You need to take a break. That's not necessarily helpful. What are some things though that are helpful?
Okay. So there's two things. And just to touch on what you've just said now, you know, it's our default reaction to try and smother, to try and dampen the discomfort, right? We do it in ourselves and we do it in others. So you speak to your friends and your girlfriends and you say, like, I'm freaking out, I'm feeling so stressed. And their instant reaction is, it's going to be okay, calm down, right? All of us know that doesn't work. So the reason it doesn't work is because when we're in a state of anxiety and stress, we actually shut down the reasoning part of our brain. So it's a physiological response to our body. Our body is responding to stress. It interprets that as a threat, and then you go into flight fight mode. And when we go into that like adrenaline-induced state, and it can be subtle, right? A little bit of frustration, or it can be really intense. You know, like I've lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills at the end of the month, or my relationship has fallen apart. So it can be a really intense emotion. But either way, your body has now gone into the state and it literally has hijacked the thinking part of the brain. And what's happened is the amygdala, which is kind of like the primal programming part of the brain, takes over. And that is pure emotion, pure instinct, and it's just like now. So we can never think our way calm, or we can never think our way out of stress or anxiety, because that part of the brain where we do think has literally been shut off. Right. So the way to do that is we have to go into where it's uncomfortable, and that is in our physical bodies, right? Because that's where we feel the emotion, and that's what's triggering all this kind of stress. And it's such a simple solution, but we're not, and I'm going to go back to that practice thing, we're not practiced at it, okay? We are so comfortable with feeling happiness and love and excitement and all the good stuff, but the minute we feel anger, fear, rejection, abandonment, like the heavy emotions, we don't want to be there. So we'll pick up our phone, we'll go on social media. Yeah, complete distraction.
Oh, I love that you're like, I'm like, pop a pill, take a drink. Yeah. Like, but real too.
Phone a friend, and you're hoping that they're going to like make you feel better, but they don't. They make you more irritated because they're not hearing you, you know? So the way to a really, really simple solution is you just have to breathe into your body and acknowledge the emotion. So it's simple. It's just a case of going, name the emotion. Okay, I'm feeling really fearful. And we don't have to justify it. We don't have to explain why. It is reality. We have to start accepting what is. The reality is, in this moment, this is how I'm feeling. I feel like absolute shit. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. And my body's freaking out because it feels like this is the end of the world, right? So all we have to do is stay in that moment. And maybe it takes 30 seconds, maybe it takes 30 minutes if it's really hard. But we just have to breathe and accept the emotion. And in that way, the emotion is allowed to move through us, right? And then it's done. But what we do is we go, no, I don't want to feel it. And it gets stuck.
So can I, on that too, you know, we talked about like, if you're feeling this, you have to take that moment and breathe and acknowledge. Do you have recommendations for somebody else's feeling it? What is the right thing for us as that phone a friend on the other side of that to say to them? Is it kind of like helping them, let's unpack this, let's talk about this, let's go there, let's breathe through it?
It's a case number one of making it valid. Because, our, you know, as we were saying, our instinct is to go, no, it's not that bad, or it will be okay. Or so we're trying to remove reality. We're trying to take ourselves, because we're uncomfortable with it, we don't really know how to support our friend, and we're telling them to go out of reality as well. So it's just a case of acknowledging it and going, that's hard. Like, admit to it, acknowledge it, say, yeah, that is hard. I don't even know what the solution is. Right. You know, accept and acknowledge and see, you know, your friend's difficulty and emotion and challenges, because, and make it valid, because it is valid. And I promise you now, try this out on a friend who's going through some kind of difficulty. Don't try and put like that plaster, that quick fix, you know, like, oh, it'll be okay, don't worry. Just go, wow, that's really hard. That's tough.
I love just
by that, you'll see their reaction drop a little bit. And then you follow up with, you know what? I don't know how you're going to get through this, but I do know that up to date, you've gotten through everything before. And I believe in you. I believe in you. Because you don't know the answer. They don't know the answer. We don't need to know the answer now. We just have to be in the feeling.
Can I just say thank you for like also giving everybody permission? It's okay to not know. It's okay to be like, I don't know. I don't know how I would deal with this. I don't know what I would go through. Maybe also just reassuring people that like, I'll be here for you every step of the way. And also don't reassure people that you're going to be there forever if you don't want to.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Because there's sometimes where like,
No, no, please continue.
I was like, there's
It's an empty, I know what you're going to say. It's like, it's an empty promise. Oh, don't worry, I'll be there for you. And then they text you later and you're like, oh my God, I don't want to deal with this.
It's also okay. I'm giving you permission at home. If you've got that person in your life, look, I've had to cut people out who are just a constant suck. And we don't have to go into that. But like, if a person is just that constant drain on you, you have to recognize that, accept it, learn from it, and also know that it's okay to say, you know what? I can't help you.
That is accountability, right? So everyone on the planet, we all have to be accountable for our own stuff.
Yeah.
And those people that you're describing, it's like they're not really asking for help. What they're trying to do is put their burden on your shoulders. They don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to find a solution. They don't want to move through that place. They like being a victim. You know, they like having something to complain about. And not everyone is like that. You know, some people genuinely need support and help. But we know those people in our lives who want to stay in that dark place. Yeah.
Right.
And then, as you said, Amber, you got to, if it's not good for you and if it's draining your energy, as hard as it is, you have to have that boundary in place.
Yeah. So in terms of, okay, so we were going through this idea of like accepting and identifying as part of this, of practicing, right? How to deal with these sort of emotions and go to a path of wellness. Are there other things that you work on with your clients that you find are helpful?
Yeah, so much. So just quickly, I just want to kind of wrap up what we were chatting about now. So we can put that all under the umbrella of resilience. So we talk about mental and emotional resilience. So it's not resistance, because all of us are really good at resisting the emotions, reality, the difficulties. But resilience is a practice where we bounce back. It's not to say that we never get affected. We're still going to feel the stress. We're still going to, you know, get triggered. But we're going to bounce back from it that much faster because we are resilient, right? And that comes with practice. So other ways of managing our stress is to also take yourself out of the story, because we all get sucked into the story, right? The drama. And when we are constantly putting our awareness and our consciousness and our energy, you know, every conversation that we're having with friends and everything we're like posting and Googling, it's all focused on that. That's where we're going to stay. So it does take consciousness. And, you know, everybody like terms consciousness differently. But consciousness is really simple. It's about being conscious of your operating system, right? Mm-hmm. So getting back to the four-point renew, we have a physical body, which is really, really primal. We have a brain that normally just does its own thing, right? It just shoots out all of these thoughts to you. You don't even know what the hell you're thinking. And half the time you're just like a passenger going, what the fuck just happened? You know, I was doing this. And the next thing I'm thinking about that. And now I'm like stalking my ex-boyfriend on Facebook. How did that go? So now we have this brain that is also like a really naughty school child that's just not being controlled. And in the middle of these things, you've got your emotions that are just kind of like, I don't know where I'm going. So being conscious is about knowing that you, your authentic self, the higher you, the you that is so limitless and beautiful and perfect, is separate to these operating parts of you, right? And very often when we just go, you know what? And we can just step back from it and go, you know what? And recognize it and go, you know what? That's my body freaking out. Mm-hmm. It's not me, okay? It's not my, it doesn't mean that I am not worthy. It doesn't mean that I don't have courage. It just means right now, my body's freaking out. What does it need? It needs me to breathe. It needs me to go for a run. It needs me to have a hot bath, whatever it is. And then our minds as well, we have to be in charge of that train, okay? And it's not easy, because when we are triggered and we're super stressed, you know, it's difficult to take yourself out of that space, but then come back to it, you know?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, go, you know what? Today was horrible. You know, I shouted at this person. I burst into tears because of that. And look at it. Look at it with curiosity. Start learning about yourself, right? How does my brain work? How does my body work? And then reflect back and go, okay, so I can understand how I was triggered. I understand how my, you know, mind went down the rabbit hole. And now you're building up an awareness and you're building up a connection between the big you, your brain, and your body. And then again, it's practice. And if you could do this diligently, and it doesn't have to be this huge, big meditation that you do, it's just a few minutes a day where you check in with yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And I always like to start with the body, because our body is the biggest indicator. And whatever you're doing, driving, working, whatever it may be, and just stop and pause and go, okay, what's happening in my body? Guaranteed, jaw's going to be like clenched, shoulders are up here, because we aren't connected on a continuous basis with ourselves. So then it's just a case of going, okay, all right, so I'm going to relax my shoulders. I'm going to take a deep breath. And when we get in the habit of being in charge of our own system, it begins to happen automatically, which is awesome. Right. Yeah. And then when we do get triggered, Yes, you're going to have a blow up. Yes, you're going to have a temper tantrum, but you're going to stop it so much faster and you're going to move out of that space so much faster.
I love that you're saying, you know, just this week, I had a day, and that you're saying, you know, that we've got our mental, we've got our emotional, we've got our physical, and we have our consciousness. So I didn't have a great sleep early in the week. And I would say midweek, I was kind of walking around like, what is the point? I'm feeling really insecure. I don't know. And I said, I remember I had this great talk with my husband, but one of the things that I, at least now 41 years into life, am able to recognize, I was like, I am probably tired. I'm going to feel this way for like the next, it's going to take me two nights of catching up. But I knew it, there's a difference between denial, which is just like, I'm not going to deal with this, and more of a, I'm not going to let myself go down this rabbit hole right now when I know that, you know, one of these four points that we're talking about is really off. Let me revisit it in 2 days when I feel like I've gotten that sleep, when my physical body is feeling better. And if I'm still feeling it, then I'll deal with that. Do you think that that's sort of, is this kind of like a healthy way that you're suggesting that we deal with this?
Beautiful. Okay, and I love that. I just, you know, because you've got that awareness and you stopped and you checked in and you recognized it. Unfortunately, so many people believe, you know, because we all know when we're tired, when we haven't slept, we feel terrible, you know, and our confidence drops, our energy drops, we feel apathetic, you know, like, oh, I don't feel like doing anything.
Yes.
But if you don't recognize what's going on, then you start to believe it, right? And then we erode our self-esteem, we erode our self-worth, our confidence, our passion. We stop going after goals because we start to believe the rubbish that's going on, you know?
Right. So important. So like, you know, again, like we bring this back to this idea of this beauty podcast, and that beauty really is more than skin deep. And what we're feeling on the inside is really going to affect how we present ourselves on the outside.
Now, so I always say you have the most beautiful, and I've seen it so many times, you know, the most beautiful human being can walk past you and you can recognize their beauty, but there's just no attraction because there's no beauty on the inside. So beauty,
no spark, no
does,
light. Yeah.
Yeah. It shines radiate out of us. Yeah. And just on a practical level, you know, like if you haven't slept, you know, wellness is, you cannot isolate wellness. Wellness is the full picture. And if we really want to live a life of wellness and beauty, and I don't just mean physical beauty, but to be able to see beauty, engage with beauty, creativity, you know, all the great things, we have to have that inside of ourselves.
I hope I'm not going to take us down too far down a rabbit hole, but I do think
somewhere
in this, I don't know about for you, but I'm seeing a lot of this in my own relationships in life where it's kind of like now we are, 6 months, but almost more than 6 months into this pandemic. And I wonder how many of us are like, we know that that is so beyond stressful, but we're trying to pack that away. Like, you know what? I talk to people and I'm like, well, no, I'm not stressed about this, but it's like, how can you not be? You know, we see on the news and we see, you know, so many things are going on right now. It's like, do you find that people don't give themselves, like they're trying to, and that, and like, okay, no, I know I was stressed about this, but now 6 months later, I should be able to deal with it. It's like, how long do you think it'll be before we can really discount that as a stress factor?
Well, I think on the one hand, it's habitual. So, you know, we like to package things away, right?
Yeah.
You know, that relationship that ended badly 10 years ago. No, it's fine. I'm over it. You know, the reality is everything that we've experienced lives within us. It just does. The positive side of that is that human beings are really adaptable. You know, you can put anything on our laps and we'll complain about it at first, and then sooner or later it becomes a new normal, which we're witnessing, right? We're all going out with masks and doing this and that. The problem with being too adaptable, though, is that we do tend to shove things under the rug. Mm. So you will see people going, oh, no, I'm fine. And then, of course, in 2-3 years from now, all of that like really suppressed anxiety and stress is going to like leak out in other ways. So I think everybody as individuals, and of course, depending on their culture and upbringing, is going to deal with it differently. What I do find wonderful, though, is that I think collectively, and you started off our chat by saying this, is that well-being and the importance of well-being it's becoming so much more prevalent and recognized as being vital to our species, you know, well-being in the workplace, at home, within ourselves. And I think that that taboo, and if we think about the evolution of well-being, you know, not that long ago, 50 years ago, you would never admit to depression or to anything that was vaguely seen as an illness or something wrong with you, because, you know, it just was not accepted.
I feel like 5 minutes ago you wouldn't have done. I mean, really, it's like in the past, what, 4 or 5 years that it's even been depression and mental illness and mental health has become part of the conversation. Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, and I'm seeing, so it's also, you know, half glass, half full, half empty kind of thing. And I, by nature, I'm a positive person. I always try to look for the learning and for the growth. You know, that's obviously my career, but it's also who I am. And so the positives that I've taken out of this is that workplaces are shifting a lot. Mm-hmm. So your leaders and your managers and the whole like structure of the organizations are beginning to understand the importance of human well-being as profitability, right? They're actually connecting those dots now. Yeah, which is wonderful. Families have reconnected to what really makes a family. You know, that time that we all got to have, we haven't experienced for many, many, many years in our culture. You know, we're in a fast-paced, entertainment-based culture. You know, we've moved away from that connection. So I do believe there are an enormous amount of positives that are going to come out of this, but it's up to you as a person to decide how you want to grow from this. And I personally think it's collectively as a species, and maybe that's just my hope speaking, but personally, I believe that we are going to be so much better off for it, more connected, more empathetic to each other, more understanding of the fact that we are all experiencing the same human pain.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us, because look, at the end of the day, this topic of wellness, and especially with self-development and growth, we're not going to unpack it all in a 30-minute, 40-minute podcast. It's just not possible. But I do think that it helps to remind people, like, these are things that we need to be aware of and talking about, and that there are, you know, just like if you have acne and you're like, I'm going to go find a product to help deal with this, we need to look at our internal wellness, that same, you know, talking about the 4 points of the consciousness, the mental, the emotional, and the physical, and sort of getting them into a healthier state. And that there are people like yourself out there who are experiencing this, who can help us along in our practice. I want to touch on, before we do go, though, you have this sort of program called Miserable to Marvelous. Can you tell us a little bit about sort of what that entails, because I loved it, just said it right there. It's like miserable to marvelous. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Off the bat, I just need to say that it was supposed to be live last month, because you know, I had 6 months of COVID and I had so much time to finally get it finished. That didn't happen, A, because I was homeschooling, and it just didn't happen. But anyway, it is coming live really soon. So basically, I have partnered with a phenomenal healer, Jenny. I love her to pieces. And we have created 10 modules that takes you really in depth from miserable to marvelous. So we've highlighted those 4 quadrants that we spoke about, and also given really practical guided steps of how to go through this process of dismantling negative belief systems, of healing those old wounds that are like getting in the way of your talent and your goals and your relationships. We go through resilience. There's a big module on mental and emotional resilience. And basically, we hold our participants' hands and guide them through the process of unveiling their true selves, because we already are incredible. All we have to do is take off the muck, right, that we picked up along the way.
I'm obsessed with this. And also, thank you for being honest, because I feel like my to-do list of things that I'm like, shit, I've been home for 6 months. I was going to get a newsletter. I was going to do all of these things that just haven't happened. You know what? We're surviving, you know, and it will happen. One last thing I want to touch on that I find very interesting now. I think that the coach has become the new therapist, right? Like people used to go to therapy, therapy, therapy. And I think that that had, I'm a firm believer in therapy, but that it had a certain stigma. And then I went to this career coach, and while I was at this career coach, I was like, holy shit, this is therapy. This is therapy, but I am able to unpack it and feel a little bit more, I don't know, like it's more productive as opposed to this, like, oh, I'm doing something productive for my career, but really at the end of the day, it's therapy. I love that.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you find that?
You've exactly described the difference between coaching and therapy. So therapy, obviously, is just dialogue. It's a series of dialogue. Right. And yes, it's important. And we have to talk about it. Right.
Yeah.
But where I find therapy fails is like, well, what then?
Right.
What then? You know, what's next?
Yeah.
So what coaching does is obviously, as you know, you've been through a coach, it's very action-based because it's the difference between thinking about change and doing change. We actually have to do the change to experience a different life. And that's exactly what you said, the productivity is like you can actually measure how you're moving forward within yourself, within your life, your career, your relationships, whatever it may be. And that's what I love so much about coaching. Is that measurable, tangible change. And also it's forward movement. So therapy is pretty like backward focused.
Yeah.
What happened when you were 5, 6, 10, I don't know. And coaching is really, okay, this is where you are, but now where do you want to be? And how do we get you there? You know?
I love it. Love it. Mm. Thank you so much, Sonia, for being on with us today. If people want to know more about how they can get in touch with you, if they want to read your books, what's the best place to find you?
Right. So head over to my website, soniakillick.com. That is K-I-L-L-I-K. And yeah, you can find everything there. Sign up for, I do have a little early reminder for Miserable to Marvelous course. I did get around to doing that. So you can pop your details in there if you're interested. And all the information is there. Links to my books, links to chat to me if you'd like to. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you.
We would love that. And of course, everybody at home, if you're listening right now and you have questions you want us to pass on to Sonia, we can always do that. You can write to us at hello@artbeautypodcast. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and of course, YouTube at Art Beauty Podcast. And as always, we will see you next Tuesday. Bye.